First, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Deesa Cornish. Deesa is a doctoral student at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and she could not be here today, so I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge her, number one, and also, number two, use that as a disclaimer, because she did absolutely almost all of the work on this project here. So be very kind. But also I want to say I think it's very interesting to be presenting in this session about technology, because I think the first two presentations have shown kind of technology in the way that we traditionally think about it. And as a health communication professor, I definitely love that exposure. But Deesa has to take the credit for thinking about photo voice as an innovative method to be used, and also another option as it relates to technology. And hopefully we'll give you a little bit of insight by the end of the presentation about what photo voice is and what it has to offer. So to give you a little bit of background about adolescent risk behaviors, 47% of high school students have ever had sex in 2005. And nationally, 14% of high school students have had sex with at least four lifetime partners. 2002 data suggests that national pregnancy rate for teens aged 15 to 19 was 76.4 per 1,000. And about half of teenagers in the U.S. have had sex, and approximately 15% have had four or more partners in their lifetime. And I just repeated that. Although declining overall, teen pregnancy and STD rates for adolescents and young adults do remain high. Based on previous research, we have been able to identify antecedents of sexual initiation among adolescent females. Sexual initiation among these females may be influenced then by perceptions and attitudes towards sex, the impacts of sex, benefits and disadvantages to sex, as well as romantic relationships. And you'll see we've identified these by both protective and risk factors. And these range from feelings of guilt related to sexual activity, greater perceived cost of pregnancy, greater perceived risk of concern about STDs and HIV, and greater perceived personal and social costs to sex. So a lot of those there are quite intuitive, and then the risk factors follow. Permissive attitudes toward premarital sex and abstinence, greater perceived personal and social benefits to sex, dating at an early age or frequent dating, and then having a romantic relationship or going steady with a partner. A recent study published in the Journal of Adolescent Health reports that the use of contraceptives among adolescents may also be influenced by their perceptions about the impacts of sexual activity. So you'll see here that this study was actually published this year, 2007. Adolescents' perceptions regarding pregnancy and STD risk have been associated with dual contraceptive use. In young adolescent females, these being between 7th and 9th grade, may be less likely to use dual methods if they view sex as a way to experience pleasure, appear attractive, and reduce loneliness. So I hope this begins to give you some idea about why it's important then to study this population. So regarding the purpose of the study, it was to explore youth's perceived consequences of having sex at a young age using a group of 9th grade females and the photo voice method. We took this approach considering that so much current data is quantitatively driven, and it seems unclear then whether what we think is salient as public health professionals is actually salient for the target population. In order to gain a better understanding of their perceptions, we wanted to engage adolescent females in a creative thinking process and dialogue. So then what is photo voice? It is, again, technology from a different perspective, and this is based on the work of Caroline Wang. Photo voice is a qualitative method of inquiry that involves individuals taking photographs about a specific topic and then discussing the photos in a group setting in order to effect some social change. Regarding the goals of photo voice, it helps individuals, especially individuals in populations that might otherwise not have a voice on the policy or decision-making playing field, to document their lived experiences. Through a participatory and critical education framework, the methods process promotes dialogue and issue selection with the goal of engaging social change and action. PhotoVoice was originally developed for use with older women, but has been adapted for use with other populations. Adolescents are a recent addition to this list of populations. And so some benefits and challenges that we've identified and has been identified in the literature regarding benefits: development of creative skills and creativity reflects youth development and theoretical underpinnings of the method. Also, the sense of pride in the creative product contributes then to discussion, so people are less focused on the actual topic, but more focused on kind of their creation of the creative product, the creativity that they put into their work. High levels of youth satisfaction and empowerment also result. Regarding challenges, variety in picture-taking rates and quality of photos, so kind of structural challenges there. Large group discussions can hinder the dialogue, but smaller and less heterogeneous groups may help combat this as a barrier or a challenge. And youth then will need significant assistance in reaching the policy level. So we do acknowledge that this is one probably lower level step, but again, it is one step toward effecting social change and empowering youth in our case here. The steps of PhotoVoice include camera instruction, participatory selection of a photo assignment, photography, discussion about photos, using specific strategies, and then finally issue selection. Discussion strategies should encourage critical thought and reflection in photo selection, contextualizing the photos, which basically means telling stories about what the photos mean, and then identifying issues and concerns related to the photos. Specifically, discussion can follow what's called the showed technique, which answers the following questions. So the first question with the showed technique is, what do we see in the photo? So the S, what is really happening in the photo? Then how does this relate to our lives? Why then does this issue exist? And then what can we do about it? The current research was conducted in two sessions with 13 ninth grade girls at a large urban high school located in Birmingham, Alabama. Through a partnership with the school, sessions were conducted during class time on the school grounds and under the general supervision of the health teacher. The first session consisted of primarily work time to create the collages, and the second session was a combination of work time and discussion about the collages. So I'll tell you about the collages. We had some really great ideas and plans as it related to PhotoVoice. You'll see down at the second to last bullet, we had the question, what are the impacts or consequences, both positive or negative, of having sex in the young population? So this was the question of, that they were supposed to answer by their photos. So, as you know, working at an university and institution, we had to go through the institutional review board process. And according to them, what we were doing could be detrimental to the youth, and that's definitely important, and we took that into consideration. So as a result, we were not able to allow the youth to actually take photos, but what IRB did allow us to do instead was to have them take existing photos, and we did this through magazines. So they were able to take clippings from a wide variety of magazines. We had 30 magazines for these 13 youth to choose from, and they were a variety from Essence, Ebony, Teen People, all teen magazines that we found would be relevant for them, and they then chose the pictures from those. And then finally, formal qualitative analysis was done, and this included code development and the coding process. So we have descriptive results here. We had 13 participants, and all were female, and all but one were African American. Three general themes then emerged as the primary impact or consequences of having sex in a young population. And the youth identified these as pregnancy and as number one. And based on the second column is a number of times in discussion, so their discussions were audio taped. So we counted the number of times pregnancy came up, all of the themes came up, and pregnancy came up the most, and then the number of times that the theme was identified in the collages, and each participant had their own collage. So we had a total of 13 collages. So in every collage, pregnancy was identified as an impact of having sex. Okay. followed by psychological consequences, which was the second most popular thing, and then sexually transmitted infections. So here's an example of one collage, and this one actually does a great job of showing all of those three major things. So you can see pregnancy here, obviously, baby. Here comes the baby. So they've identified pregnancy as one theme here. And then STIs. So we'll see STDs right here. And then psychological loss. So disappointment. Self-worth. Right. So this is one example that shows kind of all of those three major things. Results of the qualitative content analysis are shown here by major theme, sub-theme, and then you'll see in italics the relevant supportive examples from the participants' discussions. So if you could just read the discussion excerpts for yourself, then I'll give you kind of an overview. In the pregnancy theme, participants discuss questions and concerns related to the father of the baby. Specifically, is he going to stick around, and will he be able to handle the responsibilities of a baby? Social and lifestyle changes were also discussed, including putting the baby before oneself, not being able to quote-unquote party anymore, and also the realization that bringing a baby into one's life will make significant changes, potentially negative, but also potentially positive. Providing for the baby, then, was also discussed in terms of being able to support the baby financially and provide the baby with various needs and opportunities. Regarding STI acquisition, it was considered worse than getting pregnant, and STIs were often discussed as being forever. So you see here, prospect of an STI worse than prospect of pregnancy. Participants said, having a baby ain't always bad. Having an STD is always bad. Regarding STIs being quote-unquote forever, because an STD, you might have to deal with that for the rest of your life. And then general psychological impacts of having sex were focused on loss of self-esteem and self-confidence after sex, and also having regrets about one's sexual activity. So loss of self-esteem, you can lose your entire sense of self-worth, having regrets. And almost everybody will wind up having regrets about something they do in this area, and it's not good. And then here we have additional themes that emerged in discussion that were not specifically related to the central question, but were nonetheless interesting to note. Teen pregnancy was recognized as potentially more challenging than pregnancy at a later age. Participants could all discuss knowing people who had gotten pregnant, but none could report knowing anyone who had had an STI. In addition, there was an interesting contradiction in the idea that both a baby and an STI could both have long-term effects, but a baby could potentially be a positive long-term effect, whereas an STI could potentially inherently be a negative long-term effect. So the results we found were reflective of the intuitive hypothesis that pregnancy and STIs would be primary perceived consequences of sex in a young population. But it was clear that participants were also aware of potential psychological impacts. Pregnancy and child rearing were both romanticized by participants, despite the fact that they were able to point to clear negative examples of peers and even their own parents who had negative experiences with teen pregnancy. Informal communication about pregnancy appears to be more common than communication about STIs, which is also reflected in the lack of factual information during the discussions and reliance on anecdotal evidence. The extant literature suggests certain antecedents of sexual initiation, such as those that I identified earlier, including perceived cost of pregnancy, risk of concern about STIs, and perceived personal and social cost of sex. These results then illustrate that study participants were thinking about these antecedents in relation to the impacts of sex. Involving the target population in the dialogue about risk behaviors and the impacts of these risk behaviors provides a more complete understanding of how a subsample of the target population perceives these impacts. We would be remiss then not to identify the limitations. These include small sample size. The project was modified and did not include a photographic component, which we were just generally saddened by because we were really excited about using this methodology that, although has been in existence for about 20 years or so, has really not been used extensively with this population. And we thought that the youth would really be excited about, again, going out and doing something really creative. Not being far removed from this population, I remember collages. Okay, we're doing yet another collage. But if you gave me a disposable camera, how excited would I be, regardless of, you know, what my photographic skills would be, how excited would I be to kind of go out into the community and take pictures of my friends, or, you know, really be able to abstractly think about pregnancy and what that means, rather than kind of sitting in the classroom again and being more in a didactic environment. However, we do assert that the integrity of the method was somewhat maintained despite the modifications that we were mandated to use. Regarding recommendations, incorporating creative projects such as Photo Voice or a modified Photo Voice protocol into reproductive health curricula may be an effective way of engaging adolescents. Researchers, policymakers, and practitioners should consider the use of similar participatory and creative approaches with the goal of improving reproductive health education. Discussion driven by adolescents can have a valuable impact on organizational and policy level structure, especially in areas related to condom availability, medically accurate health education, and modification of curricula to improve the accessibility and relatability of content. In order for change to be lasting and effective on a large scale, policy action is necessary, including our target populations, such as adolescents in our case, in the decision-making process is a necessary component.